Hello, everyone. Welcome to Artsy Engineering Radio. I'm John. I'm your host for today. I'm an engineer here at Artsy, and I have a very special guest today. It's Sarah. You guys have probably heard Sarah before. She's been on the podcast. Sarah, why don't you quick introduce yourself?
Hello. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm Sarah Huck. We have many Sarahs in the Artsy team, but hopefully my voice is distinct enough. I'm a machine learning engineer currently in the Find and Explore team at Artsy, and working on something super exciting, field recommendations.
Yeah, so we wanted to get together because we've been working on this topic of artwork recommendations for quite a while, and we've reached some milestones that felt like a good time to kind of talk about the process and talk about what's worked well. We've had some hiccups, and we could talk about those too. But yeah, so I'm on the grow team. You're on a different team, but we overlap in the sense that my team would help like the marketing team, and the marketing team sends an email, and this email is I think on Thursdays, and it has artwork recommendations for users. So like, I'm coming at it from that point of view of like, hey, the marketing team wants to send artwork recommendation emails, and you're coming at it from that point of view of like, you're going to do some lab coat computer science work and try to figure out what artworks are going to be good for a user. And so we kind of have this way where we found a seam or like a way to kind of decide where your work ends and my work begins. And so that could be a cool way for us to kind of work together.
Yeah, I guess we can start with some of the history of recommendations at Artsy. Because, for example, the use case that you mentioned is email. But the use case where I joined and what I picked up was on the app. It was a rail on the app that I was trying to rebuild. So for some bizarre reason, we've had several ways of showcasing something that should have been the same. And I think you have definitely done an incredible job uniting everything and providing this single source of truth around recommendations. But currently, the surface on the app, on the website, and emails. So from my side, it's really cool to see them all being used and all the exciting feedback we've received. But yeah, it's been a journey.
Yeah, so I think one of the early things you hit upon was, let's use some user behavior and calculate a affinity score for an artist. So given a user and some things they've done, and given what we know about some artists, how can we calculate some number that represents how likely a user is to like an artist? And then once we have that data point, we can use that to find published artworks from our gallery partners that maybe also fit some other criteria. And like, so that's kind of how this evolved. And you started that work with a rail on the app home screen. So you launched the Artsy app on your phone. The first screen you see is like what we call the home feed. And the first rail of the home feed, sort of scrolling left to right, is our artwork recommendations. And so when you're on the CX team, I think that's when that stuff was kicking around.
Yeah, so when I joined, we had lots of new hires with this whole mass hiring. So I was currently in the collector experience team. And one of the first, I guess, tickets or tasks was assigned by Pierluca, who wanted to replace this new works by artists you follow, where the signal was very explicit, with analytic data. And the data team had built this affinity model, and it felt like a good use case. And I paired a lot with Ola, and we built together this rail, which replaced new works from artists you follow to new works for you, which, as you said, considers affinity data. What's cool about affinity data, it takes signals that the user is giving us, but it's also, for example, the more you browse on an artist, it will capture that sort of behavior as well. And I find a lot of recommendation algorithms in industries only tend to look at one perspective. They look at saves or views or something very clear, but I really like this idea of building on all these various different signals. So if you browse on something once, that's maybe very weak, but if you really love an artist or an artwork, you're going to be going back into that page, especially because of the market that we're in. So I really find these affinity recs and this affinity model that we put in production and across all different platforms, I feel for the art market, works really well.
Yeah, there's something foundational here that I want to make sure we highlight, which is like we had to capture the signals first. So like, because we have a pretty good foundation with Segment is our is our provider for this. But anyway, so like all of our app and our website, like whenever a user is going about their business, like we're triggering events, and then those events get dumped into like Redshift, like our data lake. And so because you had that foundational pool of signals, you could kind of tinker with what to boost, what whatever, and then like arrive at some calculation that we feel confident in.
Yeah, that's a good way of phrasing it. So yeah, currently it looks at follow behavior, saving behavior, browsing behavior, inquiring behavior, bidding behavior, orders, my collections. There's so many areas where we can capture this information. We are moving towards this auto-follow idea, but at the time that didn't exist as well. And I think only 30% or 20% of our users showed follow behavior, which meant we weren't able to showcase all our users or collectors any meaningful artworks as well. So definitely, yeah, it was one step in the right direction. And that's also seen lots of different iterations as well.
And we'll keep iterating.
We'll keep iterating and make sure we provide something which is meaningful. But John, how did you fall into all of this? Because this was something that was in collector experience and you were in a different team. I still don't know how this all started.
I think what happened is that you or the CX team in general were doing like A/B tests on this in the app, and they were successful. They were doing well. The approach you were taking was causing more commercial actions, was causing more engagement, whatever the thing is. And so when marketing found out about that, they were like, I want that for my email. Oh. And because the Grow team works so closely with marketing, that turns into a project for me. And then it's like, oh, I'm like learning all this stuff from Sarah about like what you've been up to. And then I do like an audit, and I look at like the rail on the homepage, the new for you page, the rail on the app, like all these things. And I realize that like they're all being powered by different things. So what we figured out is that you might get an email with recommendations that has six artworks, and you click on like a view all, and then that goes to maybe a screen in the app or a page on the website, and like what you see there is different. And so that inconsistency was one of the first things that that I sort of tried to highlight as like, okay, before we can really move forward here on improving, on evolving our algorithm, we should start by making that experience consistent and establishing a single source of truth. So that's kind of where I sort of said to Kathy, the director of engineering, like, hey, I would like to kind of spend some focus time here. And like, there's some roadmap here where I, you know, migrate all of these surfaces to a single source of truth. And then once we've hit some of these milestones, then, you know, some of our ideas about, you know, other experiments we can do with Sarah's modeling, with filtering out certain works, whatever, it'll be so much easier to do those experiments once we have this consistent experience.
Yeah, I think that's really important to mention that any feature that we try to release, we've tested thoroughly. We've had a few weeks of testing. And actually creating that testing framework was a huge challenge. And you did. I'm so happy that we have this flow in place where we can try different versions of the Affinity Rex. We try, we succeed, we fail, we keep iterating. And I really like this process. I think this is just a good way to work, which is just having a good experimental framework, testing quickly, getting feedback quickly, and then trying something else as opposed to spending lots of time designing, planning, talking about it. Just ship it and see what happens.
Yeah, we also, one thing to note is that we pulled out a recommendations channel in Slack and then found a few folks that could be like a recommendations working group, so to speak, so that, you know, maybe you and I were the ones mostly doing the actual like engineering kind of work, but we had like marketing input and our curatorial team's input and, you know, even like other engineering. So anyway, we built this like multidisciplinary team to try to understand like what's our goal here? What's the outcome? How do we stay focused on the user? Because it's so easy to get really into the weeds technically on this stuff.
Yeah, of course. And again, this is if we keep talking about it, it affects emails, our website, our app. It's across different teams, as you mentioned, not just the collector product area, but also marketing area. And yeah, creating this sort of informal team, it's been a lot of fun. It was also had its own challenges. I think everyone has with everything, but yeah, it's really nice that we're at a place where we have these recommendations being surfaced in all the areas, we're able to test it correctly, we're able to get feedback quickly, and we're able to just keep improving. And that is something that we should really celebrate.
Yeah, I think so too. So let's get into some of the technical details. I wrote some outline here. And so the next topic I was thinking about is like how we calculate the recommendations. So I mentioned before that there's like some integration point between your work and my work. And what we established is like there's a database on one of our services. Like where you sort of leave off is you send me like a blob of SQL. Sometimes you write it yourself. And then that goes into this system and it generates the recommendations for a user daily. So we have a daily job. It runs. Sends this SQL blob off to our data lake. And then what ends up being stored in the database is like essentially a user ID, an artwork ID, and a score. And so then once you've done that work, then I can pick it up from there and I can surface that into API endpoints. And then I can go to clients and I can update them to hit that endpoint and consume those recommendations. So that was my way of kind of outlining how things work. But I don't know as much about what's like done on your side. So maybe you can talk about like, how do you come up with that SQL or like what's your process like?
Yeah. So the initial starting point is a relationship between users and their interaction with artists or artworks. That's the starting point. For our affinity recommendations algorithms, we're looking at users and artists they have affinity for. And this ranges. An artist that you have in your collection, you're constantly browsing, you're obsessed with, that would get a very high score. And there's an artist that maybe you just looked at once, realized you could never afford the artist, or it was just something you looked at curiosity, you would have a very low scoring on because you just didn't engage so much. So the starting point of all our recommendation algorithms is this affinity data set, which lives in Redshift. And then based on that, we can fetch artworks that we feel are relevant. And that's what we're trialing and erroring. So right now, what we're looking at is, these users have affinity with these artists. What is the most recently published work in the last 30 days? Showcase that to the user. And originally we were actually showcasing just recent artwork, so we weren't ordering by affinity. So that meant maybe an artist that you had a low affinity for but had a latest work would be ranked higher. So the fact that we sorted this so that you would see artists you have affinity for as the first artwork is pretty cool, because I constantly see my favorite artist being shown, and I bought something a few days ago and I was like, yay, it works. And because I am so obsessed with this artist and I keep looking, and it takes time to buy. I think something that we misunderstand, art is not an immediate purchase just because it's so expensive. So it takes time. And obviously the more you're interacting with it, the more likely you want to buy it as well. So that's something that gets captured in this SQL query that you're talking about. But the starting point is this user artist pairing, and the higher the score, the more you have affinity for. And then we tried to subset relevant artworks. So for example, recently we've excluded merchandise from the affinity recs algorithm. We could potentially show BNMO works higher. So lots of improvements can be made, but we test it, see how it works. We recently tried to incorporate budget. So we were trying to pick artworks within a budget.
Sure.
We got mixed feedback. One set tested well, one didn't. So the conclusion was that we might not move forward with it. But maybe budget doesn't make sense. Maybe affinity is a clear enough signal. And that's something that we have to just keep trying and testing. But from my experience as a collector, I like the affinity recs because they also pick up artists that I just didn't think to follow. It's just for whatever reason, I didn't get around to following them. Also surface artists that sometimes I'm like, I love, but I just moved on to somebody else. So it's really great to be, a new work has come. And if it's something super trendy, that's even more amazing. I think the important things are we start with these user affinity scores, and then based on that, we're fetching artworks based on some criteria. And that's what lives in Vortex right now.
Yeah. And so there's two kinds of changes I heard you talk about. One was suppressing what we call merch. And so that was a change that we made and we pushed to production and we didn't really do much testing on it. We just trusted our instincts there. And we did maybe some like qualitative, just like reviewing how this looked to see if we thought that it was a good approach. But then we do test things. You mentioned budget. So I'll just quickly maybe talk about how I set that up. So we mentioned this blob of SQL, right? So like what I did was I added one more column to our database. they call it version or something, and it has either an A or a B.
Love it.
And so we split up our users and we calculate their A recommendations or their B recommendations. And then when it comes time for someone like in our marketing department to create the email, they can use their existing A-B testing framework to split their users into A and B cohorts. And then voila, we have an email that goes out that splits between these two approaches, and we can get some feedback pretty quick that way. And then, like you say, it wasn't like a slam dunk. Yes, budget is super impactful here. And so we were able to like roll that back and kind of learn from it. And so as future tests roll out, we'll probably use that same technique.
Yeah, and we split the users 50-50, right? So 50% is our control group and 50% is our test group. So originally our test started with the original emails logic, and we tested against our affinity recs. I saw some crazy numbers the other day. We had some like 285% CVR to CV. I don't even know what to open that. It looked really fancy. But I think in layman's terms, I think we doubled or tripled conversion, which was, again, it's an amazing feat just by making such small changes and just keep iterating, making sure we are constantly improving what we show our collectors. So our first test was that, and then we tried Affinity Rex, and we tried Affinity Rex with budget, but that test didn't do well. So we said we went back to Affinity Rex, but having that testing framework really makes decision making smoother, quicker, punchier.
I'm thinking about hiccups, and one of the hiccups I can take credit for was I mixed up ascending and descending, and I was surfacing the lowest affinity recs rather than the highest affinity recs for some number of weeks. Once I fixed that, but like here again, so we had already put the time in to migrate all these surfaces to a single source of truth. So finding this mistake and fixing this mistake was much cheaper because I didn't have to go across all these different surfaces, all these API endpoints. There's one place where I made this mistake and one place to fix it.
That's not my favorite hiccup, though. My favorite hiccup is when we broke the whole platform down because originally when we were talking about recommendations, so again, recommendations means a whole family of algorithms. There's machine learning algorithms we can use. When we talk about recommendations, we're talking about the affinity recommendations, a new works rail. So originally we thought, oh, we're going to be using these machine learning recommendations, and then we needed, because that's not surfacing, is not predicting recommendations for so many users, we're like, oh, we need to then use the follow logic, and then we need to use backer logic. And then we broke Artsy. I think that for me is my favorite hiccup.
Yeah, we have a proxy server called Metaphysics, and the email campaign that went out, it hits this endpoint for every user, and it was just inundating the API. And so this is another thing we've learned a lot about of how to make it all performant as well. So yeah, I think of like the website, the app, the email as like clients of this API endpoint that ultimately then queries this database for the recommendations. And it's like a two-part query. So first it gets the user ID, artwork ID, score, whatever, and then it hits our main API and enhances that information with the full artwork information that would be required to like show the image, show the title, link to the page, etc. So one other thought I had was like maybe we could discuss where we see this going, like what else can we do? One thought I have here is we're very coupled to this idea of like every day we calculate our recommendations, and that's great for existing users and it's great for the frequency of sending an email every week, but we sort of have this idea that we would love to onboard new users, get some signals right away from them, and then immediately show them works that we think are really going to, excite them and reflect their tastes and stuff like that. So that's more like real-time recommendation calculation. And we just don't have any precedent for this yet. That's one that I think would be really sweet.
Yeah, that's a bit trickier, though, because that's now going into a cold start problem. And usually a lot of ways companies solve this is by a series of questions and just trying to showcase either the most popular artworks or artworks where, let's say, the advisory team's radar, just so that we can then do something about that. But we can't magically showcase here the perfect perfect or relevant artists or artworks for you. But usually people solve this by popularity models. Think when you first go onto Netflix or YouTube or anything, they have to start with just generic content. But I think it's really important to showcase and put forward the best art or the most curated, well-curated. And this is where we should definitely get our amazing, talented, artsy experts in so they can entice new users. For example, we have Trove. We could even show that. And then making sure that we very quickly can, once we've shown, once we've addressed this cold start problem, then we have to be able to show the very meaningful, relevant recommendations quickly. But something we haven't touched on, which I think is part of the victory of the single source of truth, is the backfill. Because all users give us signals. We have a lot of users, maybe 20% of users, that come on the platform, they're not following, they're not engaging. That's maybe something in our user journey broke. Maybe these are completely bounced users, but still, there's always potential to entice collectors or potential collectors, and these non-buyers, as we call them. So I think the backfill is another area that we can test. We can try lots of different backfills. Right now, we're using one form of the trending score. Maybe we could try another version. We could try Trove. But that's another area. And I think once we test that and get more feedback on that, that's something that we can use on our onboarding as well.
Sure.
But I think the fact that we have backfill is amazing.
It's pretty awesome. So in terms of the mechanics of this, the way this works is it's possible for a user to be so new or so whatever, like they don't have enough information for us to calculate how many recs we want to show. And so what Sarah's talking about here is like the query goes in and the array of recommendations comes back empty. And so what we do then is make a second API call to a curated list of artworks that our marketing friends make for us. And so that's updated weekly. And it's a combination of things. But as you say, there's maybe some room for experimentation improvement there. But that helps us always have at least six. So for the email campaign, they show six up in that email. You may have artist affinity, but we just may not have inventory. Like, it's certainly possible that you have affinity for a few artists, but what if we just don't have any published for sale works by those artists? That can happen. And so in that case, again, backfill would come in and you'd see that curated list of things that we think are really hot right now.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another, that's a very valid concern that we might just not have inventory and we can't show them relevant content. And that's why it would be great once the affinity recs solves one area, it'd be great to then start using machine learning algorithms, because the machine learning algorithms could also just like backfill. It could showcase, predict artworks that might be relevant, might be similar. And so that's something that we haven't tested in too much detail. They live on our homepage, but from my side, I think that definitely is the next area that we have to test more and incorporate more. And actually, so the way I see the onboarding flow going is we have users onboarding. We showcase some of our best artworks. If we can get even two signals, we could match them and make predictions. Mm-hmm. If we want to show them very relevant affinity works, we have to just give them some time. We have to keep sending them just sort of 7-day flow emails, be like, hey, follow this, follow that. But we just have to keep enticing them and suggesting artists to follow or showcasing our best artworks, which I think people will appreciate, because art is beautiful. And if you made it this far, you want to see beautiful artworks. I don't think it's annoying. I can't imagine anyone ever saying, oh, I don't want to see this gorgeous piece of art. This is hurting my eyes.
That is a fun thing about this project, is that like we're showing people things they want to see.
Exactly.
Like we're doing a service here. Yeah, it's cool.
And so something that I think maybe we can investigate more is maybe our prices. So maybe showing 100K of artwork doesn't reflect our user base, but usually showing people art is not going to frustrate anyone. If anyone is going to have a warm and fuzzy feeling inside. So I don't feel bad that we're bombarding people with god awful content. We get to showcase art to collectors, and if people come to Artsy, they usually have some affinity towards art.
That's how they kind of got there in the first place. Speaking of warm and fuzzies, thank you so much for talking to me about this, Sarah. It's been great. It's been so fun working with you on this, and I think that we're going to probably continue to work on it in the future.
Yeah, thank you so much for championing it and spearheading it. And providing a single source of recommendation truth. That's super excited about next steps as well.
Awesome. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening. You can follow the Artsy engineering team on Twitter at @artsyopensource, and you can find our blog at artsy.github.io. This episode was mixed and edited by Jesse Magana, and our theme music is by Eve Essex, who you can find on all major streaming platforms. See you next time.